what is between you and playtime. So I will try not to take up too much time. Greg asked me to offer some words of encouragement on quiet times, on spending times alone in God's Word. How many here, show of hands, were at senior teens this year? Quite a few on this side. At that week, Mark DeJager was the speaker, and that's exactly what he spoke on. And Mark has he kind of formulated a pamphlet. It's probably 20 or 30 pages, and it's just a daily quiet time. And he just goes through of different strategies that you can use. I hope if you were there that you still have this and that you're still going through with that. And it's very important to have a daily interaction with God, a daily interaction with the Lord Jesus. I know we're all human, and I know we forget, and that's just, I know myself, that's part of getting old, is I tend to forget a lot of things. I have two of my children are here, I have my wife, Stacy. She's unable to be here, but I tend, in my forgetfulness, I tend to annoy her sometimes. But some things that come with getting old are forgetfulness. And then some of us are at different stages than this. As I look down, you will notice that another aspect of getting older is this little area here on my hairline tends to be a little whiter than everything else, so it's hair loss. Now, if you want to bring this up, this picture, if you want to look at me when I was younger, that's quite a mop of hair that I had going on there. Quite a dapper young man there. And but I don't call it hair loss. In my experience, it's hair travel. See, because it starts out here, and then as I get older, it kind of sucks into my head. And then randomly, it will pop out my nostril. And then I'll wake up in the morning and there's this what is that? Or it'll come out my eyebrows. It'll be, and the next morning, and I'm looking around like this, and it's where did they come from? Or even better, sometimes my wife Stacy will be sitting beside me and she'll be like, ding. And she'll pull out this hair that overnight has grown out of my earlobe or my ears. So I don't call it hair loss. I call it hair travel, because it travels from here, and then it enters up. Greg and I had a great time braiding our hair last night. It was my back hair that he braided. It was quite nice. But so this weekend, it's great to laugh. It's great to be a Christian, and I'm a Christian, and there are many people here, and our only hope is that if you're not a Christian, if you don't have that relationship, it's all about a relationship. You hear a lot about religions, but it's about a relationship. It's about a relationship with Christ. And I said, I'm a Christian. So if you could turn, we're going to look at Moses' experience. So if you have your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 19. And as you're turning there, just remember that word Christian. Christian. We want to give Christ the first place here. This whole weekend, we want to give Christ the first place. And even in the word Christian, Christ is first. And you can't be a Christian without Christ. You can't have the word Christian without Christ. If you take Christ out of the word Christian, you're left with three letters. I-A-N. Ian. Ian will not save you. I know Ian is a very nice guy, if there's anybody named Ian here, but Ian will not save you. Ian does not have the power over death, okay? Christ does. He died, he went to the grave, and he rose from the dead, and he defeated death, and he says, now I hold the keys to death and hell, and that's the one who we want to have a relationship with, the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we're reading in Exodus chapter 19. We're going to just look at Moses' experience that he was involved with here with God. How do you have a relationship with someone? How do we have a relationship? We have a relationship by spending time with them. You just spend time with people. I could stand up here, and I work in a small office. Sometimes I'm outside. My occupation, as weird as it sounds, I'm a recreation coordinator. So I spend a lot of time with schools. I spend a lot of time working with teachers, and I try to coordinate programs to involve with after-school time periods to keep kids physically active. I work with adults. I work with seniors, just creating programs and things like that. But my coworkers, you could not have a relationship with my coworker unless you met them face-to-face. I could stand up here and talk to you about my coworkers on and on and on and on, and you still wouldn't have a relationship with them. You have to have that face-to-face time. And that's what it is with this quiet time, with spending time with God's Word and with the Lord Jesus, reading His Word, listening to what He has for you. So I ask you, just think, how much time last week did I spend reading the Bible? Some? Any? Maybe a little? Maybe every day? But that's how you spend time. Like, how much time did you spend with my coworker? None. You don't even know them because you didn't spend any time with them. You have to spend time with them. What's our experience in our relationship with God, with the Lord Jesus? So let's look at Moses' experience here. Exodus chapter 19, and we're going to start at verse 16. This is a pretty cool encounter with God. Verse 16, Exodus 19, verse 16. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. People who were in the camp trembled, and Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, because the Lord had descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. That word voice, if you have a King James version, it says he answered him in thunder. That's how God spoke to him, in thunder. And then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord God called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And then if you just turn forward to chapter 20 and verse 18 and 19. Now all the people, Moses at this time gives the Ten Commandments. Gives the people the Ten Commandments. And then in chapter 20, verse 18, now all the people witnessed the thunderings and the lightnings and the flashes and the smoke and the sound of the trumpet on the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled, and they stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, "You speak with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." Wow. They were afraid. This was Moses' experience with God. Imagine this. He's walking up on the mountain, and there's thunder, and there's lightning, and then there's this, the top of the mountain is covered in all this smoke, and every time he talks to God, God answers him in a voice of thunder. There's fog, the ground's quaking underneath of him. And it's like, wow, what an awesome experience. He's coming into the presence of God. And you'd think, how could that be anything less than that? Than amazing and awesome and extraordinary. And when you compare that, this experience that Moses had, and I ask you, how does that compare to the last time you and I read our Bible? Or had a quiet time with God? When you think about the thoughts that were going through Moses' head as he was approaching this mountain with all that going on, and then I think about the last time I read the Word of God, and I'm speaking of myself, it was like, that was fairly boring. That was fairly like something I needed to check off for today. Fairly unexciting. So I ask, how did the awesome 3,000 years ago in that experience with Moses, how did that become so very ordinary today when we read the Word of God? And I'm including myself in that. How did that happen? Is it even possible today? Just think about it. Is it even possible? Do I, when I read the Word of God, do I get excitement from that? Do I get enjoyment from that? What is your experience like when you read the Word of God? We need to interact with God. That's how we get to know one another. I stated that at the beginning. In most circumstances, we're very guarded as individuals. I know, you know, it's not until you get to know somebody that you let that guard down and you really reveal who yourself to somebody. You really reveal who you are when you get close. And the more I reveal about myself, the closer I get. And the closer I get to that person, and in your minds now, you can think about the 3 or 4 or 5 people that you're close with, that those are your close friends. And those are the people who you reveal those interactions or those interfeelings and what who it is that's inside this body. What's that tune? Yes, right. So the more we reveal about ourselves, the more we get to know that person. And the more we get to know that person, the more safe we feel to reveal more about ourselves. That's how relationships work. And it's why would it be any different with God? God uses many ways in order to interact with us. It can be a quiet time. It can also be, many of us have gone to a place of worship, a church, a meeting on Sunday mornings. The Bible tells us that that's one place where God reveals himself. He says, where 2 or 3 are gathered, in one place, there am I in the midst. So when you think about interacting with God and he's revealing some of himself, maybe in that circumstance, Sunday mornings, and you think, okay, how do I reveal something of myself to God during those times? And I know if you're anything like me, a lot of times you're up late Saturday night, you may not have read your Bible at all that week. Maybe you have. But Saturday night, you're up late, you come in, you might be a little cranky, you might be tired, and then you sit down, and then someone stands up, and maybe you sing a couple, and somebody stands up, and then they start to speak, and how many know Charlie Brown? How many know the Charlie Brown teacher? And so somebody gets up and starts to speak, and you start to hear, wah, 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 wah. And then your eyes start to get a little heavy, because you're tired from the night before. And then you start to go like this, and you start to go down a little bit, and then you take the spiritual prayer posture in meeting. You start to do this. And then your eyes start to get more heavy, and then it starts to get silent, and then you really start to get into that deep, and then the drool starts to come out like this. And then the person next to you gets up, and you're like, oh, wow, it's snack time. Woo, I'm ready. I'm going down. You go downstairs, you get the snack. I don't know how your meeting works. And then you come back upstairs, and you sit down again. You sing a couple hymns, and you sit down, and then, oh, oh, oh. And then you enter the prayer posture again, and then you just go through that cycle. And then everyone gets up, and you start walking out again, and then you get in your car, and you're like, man, I didn't get anything out of that. Well, How would you get anything out of that? You were asleep, or you weren't paying attention, or your mind was off somewhere else. What did you put into that? What effort did you put into that? God's not going to miraculously reveal himself to those who don't really want to. He's as it were, a gentleman, as it were. And the Bible says in Jeremiah, it says, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. I'm going to put that into the GSV, the Glenn Standard Version. Let me put it this way. You will find me if you value me enough to spend some time with me. You will find me when you value me enough, that's God speaking, to spend some time with me. So I want us in our minds to carve out. I want to go to three separate passages of scripture here. And we're going to carve. I want you to think in your mind about carving out. I want you to carve out space. I want you to carve out time. And I want you to carve out focus in your mind for those quiet times. Those are the three things we're going to look at. And we're going to use Jesus as our example. And you know when you carve out a tree, I'm not going to carve my initials into this beautiful wooden piano, but you know when you carve out a tree and you're, how many have ever carved in a tree? Anything, a rock, a stone, in any, save the trees. You tree hug, you guys, trees have feelings too, right? So just, you don't want to do that. No, but we carve out the tree and our initials, or we say, Glenn loves Stacy, you know, we carve that out, we put it in there. But the tree has changed. The tree is now changed. You've carved something into that tree. Just picture that. And now that tree has changed. And that's what I want you to do. I want you to carve out, when you think about your schedules, carve out a time. Carve out a space in your house. So we're going to look at that. Look at Matthew. Just turn in your Bibles to Matthew, first book of the New Testament. I'll try to hurry along here because I don't want to tie you up too long. Matthew chapter 22. We're going to look at the Lord Jesus. Sorry, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And I want us to think about carving out a physical space. I spoke to some people, a couple, about what their important aspect of their quiet time was. And it was a space in their home, a space somewhere where they could have a quiet time. Look at what the Lord Jesus does. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. But when you pray, and I know he's talking about prayer, but the principle is here. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to the Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. When you pray, go into your room. You need that. He's setting up a principle of just going in and separating yourself into a different space. Whatever that routine needs to be. It may be your own room. It may be your own room. I tend to have a quiet, not necessarily a quiet time or a quiet space, but I like to come down in the morning, sit at our table in the dining room, and just read. And that's just a little short period of time in the morning, and that's where I read. And I have my coffee, and I just read. Now, I'm not saying, when I say a physical space, that you need to go home and make a space. The guy at Focus said we need to create a new space. And you start bashing out walls in your room. I'm not saying that. Here, Mom, we need a physical space in our room. No. Whatever space you have, you need a physical space. Just like I said, it might be your room. It might be the coffee table. Maybe you have a free space in the basement. Whatever it is, just carve out that space. Carve out a physical space. And it needs to be consistent. That space where you go down and you read and you pray and you think and you're communicating with God. Okay? Now turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 14. I'm all over the place. Matthew 14. This is, I want you to carve out a regular time. So now we have a physical space. Now I want you to carve out a regular time. Listen to this, again, looking at the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus in verse 22, Matthew 14, verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up onto the mountain by himself to pray. And now when evening came, he was alone. The Lord Jesus Christ here is setting up a time, he's carving out a time. Look at the importance Jesus places on his quiet time. Watch in verse 22, he carves out a space with God. Verse 22, who did he send away first? He sent away the disciples first. He needed to be alone with his God. He sent the disciples away first. Verse 23, what did he do? After he sent the disciples away, he sent the crowds away. And then it says he was alone. He's setting up an example of being alone with his God, carving out a time in his schedule. Now, it says it was in the evening. If you read in verse 22, immediately, it says it was in the evening that he did this. And if the evening works for you, that works for me. I tend to be a night person. So the evening, when I want to do my Bible study, I tend to do that in the evening. Everyone goes to bed, and sometimes I'm up at 2 or 3 in the morning, but that just works for me. And you might say, well, I'm not an evening person, Glenn. I'm a morning person. Well, turn to Mark. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. That was in the evening. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. Again, Jesus was carving out time in his schedule, and here he does it again. Verse 35, Mark chapter 1, next book, verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. So if you say, well, Glenn, I'm not a night person, I'm a morning person. Well, Jesus sets that example too. And in the first case, in Matthew, Jesus carved out a time in his schedule. He said, no, I'm too busy. You need to go away. He moved something out of the way. No, the crowds, you got to go because I need time to be alone with God. In the second case, before his schedule got busy, he set a time alone. So either case, he carved out that time in his schedule. That's what we want to do. So we have a carving out a physical space, carving out a regular time, and now turn to Matthew 22, 37. Back to Matthew, verse 22. I want you to carve out a focused mind. Matthew chapter 22. Carve out a focused mind. Verses 37 and 38. Again, Jesus is talking, and Jesus says in verse 37, Matthew 22, verse 37, and Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Carve out a focused mind. All your mind. And when I'm saying all your mind, I just mean in your quiet time, in that short time, just remove distractions. Now, if I were to say, okay, I want you to read something, and I were going to read this, what would be the problem? What's the problem here? What's in front of my eyes? Stuff. Distractions. Right? You can't focus on anything, and I know I look really silly, more silly than I normally would, but it's really hard to focus when you have all this stuff distracting you. And this is just a silly object lesson, but when we go into that quiet time, we need to take the distractions off. Whether that means turning your phone off, whether that means going into a quiet place, whether that means just trying, putting effort into focusing your mind just for a short period of time. When I said carve out a regular time, I don't mean carve out 40 minutes, 50 minutes, just a short time, whatever works in your schedule. Start small, work up, whatever works. God just wants to interact with you. God wants a relationship with you. When Stacy wants my attention, she used to just talk, and I would be like that, wah, wah, wah. I would, and then it's like, oh, wow. But she realized someone told her that just touch his arm. And she started doing that, and she would touch my arm. And I'd be like, oh, hi, how are you? And then she'd say, I need you to go to the grocery store, and I need you to get this, 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 and this. And it was after the touch that she got my attention. For me, to get her attention, I just pose and flex. She's right on there, man. She's right on it. No, seriously. That can be a distraction to her rather than... But just focus our minds for that short period of time. Just focus. Remove the distractions, whatever they are. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. As we read in the Old Testament, Moses came down and he had those commandments. And then it says, when later when we read in chapter 20, it says, he came down from the mountain and they said, no, no, you talk to God. We don't want to talk to God. We're afraid. But because Jesus Christ died on the cross, Moses can be coming down that mountain, as it were. And we now can go right by Moses and we can go right into the very presence of the Almighty God. And that's where he wants you to be. We don't need to stop with Moses halfway down the mountain and say, I'm taking a selfie with Moses. No, we can go right up into the presence of God. That's where he wants you to be in that quiet time, just alone with him, carving out that physical space, whatever that space looks like in your home, carving out that regular time. And like I said, it doesn't have to be a long time. And focus. Just focus your mind on his word. Last verse. Just turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. We're going to start at verse... Let's start at verse 24, and we'll just read, and we'll finish with this. This is the God who wants to interact with you and me. This is the God who wants a relationship with us. Listen. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since, listen to this, since he gives to all life and breath and all things. Since he gives life and breath and all things. Could anything be more important than spending a quiet time with the one who decides whether you and I take our next breath? Could anything be more important than that? Could anything be more important than carving out a space, carving out some time, and carving out some focus with the one who gives you life, who gives me breath, and who gives me and you all things? Is there anyone more important? Could we value anyone else more than carving out some time and some space and some focus in our minds for him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who made everything and gives us life and breath and all things? Just try to do that. Let's try to do that Monday. Try to carve out some space. Try to carve out some time. And when you're there, just carve out some focus. Remove the distractions for a short period of time. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we just bow before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thanking you for everything that he has done for us. Thank you that he gives us life. Thank you that he gives us breath. Thank you that he gives us all things. And it's him who we want to give the glory. It's him who we want to give the praise. And Father, we just thank you that he loved us enough and he desired enough to have a relationship with us that he himself was willing to come and die on a cross for us. Thank you so much that he, although he died, he had the power to defeat death, and now he is seated in heaven and desires each and every day to interact with us, to answer our prayers, to hear our prayers, to communicate with us. So, Father, help us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to just place value on that quiet time that we have. Thank you once again for this time. Thank you for each person here. Thank you for each young person. There's so much potential here, Lord, in this room. May we take that and take it into our homes, into our places of worship, into our schools. Thank you so much for the Lord Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.